Thank you, gentlemen.
Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-10, Rita Lynn Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 64.199 acres into 53 lots, located southeast corner of the intersection of Road 224 and Road 38. This application we have received an exhibit booklet. It's referred to as Berry Run. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments since the Technical Advisory Committee report was prepared.
Mr. Chairman, the other day we received a letter. It's addressed to Mr. Lank. After reviewing the plans on file for this subdivision, our only concern is the extent of the 30-foot buffer zones proposed. The 30-foot buffer zone is shown along two of our common property lines, but along another adjacent property line for our seam field, no buffer zone is shown. This field has been used agriculturally for many years. The field is currently fallow and has not been tilled or grazed for a couple of years, and a strip approximately 100 feet wide along the common property line is currently in a Denrec Fish and Wildlife Habitat program. However, we will continue to farm land in the future and would appreciate a 30-foot buffer from agricultural lands along these common property lines, and that was signed by Byron Jefferson. I met with Mr. Lardner yesterday, and he's aware of the buffer, and they were going to make a revision. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Gentlemen.
My name is Joe Wells. I am the president of Rita Lynn, Inc. I'm a lifelong Milford area resident. This property is located just south of Lincoln in the Cubbage Pond, Cedar Creek area. The Fleetown Road corridor is a connector between 113 and Route 30. There are already several small royal-style subdivisions in this area. When we initially designed this project and submitted it for plush review, one of the recommendations by a couple of the agencies was for a 100-foot wetlands buffer as opposed to a 100-foot stream buffer, which I think is the minimum requirement. I took a look at this, and in light of the fact that the rear of the property is mostly wooded, as well as having the stream area, which serves as a wildlife area, I asked the engineers to take another look at it, and we did implement a 100-foot wetlands buffer, which moved most of the lots along the rear out of the wooded area, so we have less of an impact on any of the wooded area as well as the wetland area. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Tim from Davis Bone and Friedel, who will present the project.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Tim Metzner with Davis Bone Friedel. We are requesting a preliminary plan approval for a 50-foot.
It's customary, if you're going to testify as an expert, for you to state your qualifications.
Sorry. Okay. Tim Metzner with Davis Bone Friedel, project manager.
Okay.
Or project manager with Davis Bone Friedel.
Okay.
Requesting the 53-lot single-family residential subdivision, located at the southeast intersection of Fleetown Road and Clendaniel Pond Road, which is located southeast of Lincoln. The total site acreage for this property is 64.2 acres. As you'll see on the aerial map, our proposed plan is consistent consistent in the area in that there are neighboring subdivisions located in this general vicinity. The site overview map is also included in the packet you received under Appendix B. The site is located in a low density area according to the 2002 comprehensive plan. We are proposing an average of 0.82 lots per acre, which meets the zoning requirements for the AR1 zone of 1 acre or one lot per acre, therefore making this plan compatible with the 2002 comprehensive plan. As previously stated, our site fronts on the Fleetown Road and Clendaniel Pond Road. To the west of our site is two parcels zoned commercial. To the east of our site is an active agricultural farm, and to the south are woodlands and an existing stream. We have provided the 100-foot stream buffer per the Sussex County Code. In addition to the stream buffer, as Mr. Wells had previously stated, we have shifted the lots, reconfigured our lots north to accommodate for an additional 100-foot wetlands buffer per the plus comments from DENREC. And this also helps with the preservation of the existing woodlands along that area. This subdivision does have a 30-foot ag buffer along the east side of the parcel, and along the west side adjacent to the commercial parcels down in the corner. There's a 25-foot buffer that we have provided along the entire frontage of Fleetown Road, which is the northwest corner or northwest portion of the site. There's a small 0.4-acre parcel of on the east side, which is the right, all the way to the right, that is located within the 100-year floodplain. This area is located within the wetlands and will remain undisturbed. We are proposing two stormwater management ponds on the site, both of which will be designed to use the best management practices, and will utilize green technology where feasible. We're proposing one entrance off of Fleetown Road, which will be designed and constructed to DLDOT standards and specifications. The interior subdivision streets will be private with open swales for drainage, which also will help water quality mitigation and thus reduce the size of the stormwater management areas. The roads will be designed to conform to the recently adopted Sussex County private road standards and specifications. Individual on-site sewer and water will serve the proposed lots. Fire protection will be provided by Allendale Fire Department, and electric will be served by Delaware Electric Co-op. And we do have a letter from the co-op stating that they have the capacity to serve this development, and that is in Appendix E of your booklet. The soil feasibility study has been performed for the use of on-site gravity systems. DENREC has reviewed and approved the feasibility study. The feasibility report and approval letter is also included in your booklet in Appendix D. Our site is impacted by the Source Water Protection Ordinance, excellent recharge area, and if I can step up here, I have a little map that shows approximately here down is impacted within that recharge area. Based on the map, we currently meet the requirement of less than 35% open impervious coverage within that designated area. Majority of it's helpful in that we are having a large buffer for preservation along that southeast portion of the site. There is a total of 15.59 acres, or 24% of total open space provided for the site, 9.25 acres of which will remain undisturbed with the buffers and preservation we're proposing. Minimum lot size per the zoning requirement is 3/4 of an acre. our average lot size is 0.8 acres. As mentioned earlier, the total site area is 64.2 acres, of which 42.65 acres is lot area, 5.96 acres is right-of-way area, and 15.59 acres is passive open space. In case we have forgotten anything in regards to the Chapter 99.9 or 99-9C, our formal responses are included in the booklet under Appendix A. At this time, I'd like to open or entertain any questions that you may have.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Does that conclude your presentation?
But
that concludes your presentation. We'll start with the questions.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Brent Gardner, civil engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel. I just want to take a couple minutes to reiterate some key points that Mr. Messer mentioned. We are in the rural area, which does account for low density area. Single family homes permitted, of which this site provides, as he had said, 0.56 units per acre. Some key things I want, the whole intent of the subdivision was to have the rural aspect to meet the rural provisions and the concept and vision that the county has for a rural concept, which is why we have proposed 3/4 acres, the roads with the open swale system being carried to the surrounding area. As Mr. Wells has stated, the stream located south of property, county requirement was a 100-foot stream. He wanted to go above and beyond that and also provide the 100-foot wetland. So we believe that this site here meets the intent and the guide and the vision of the rural density area and the comp plan and the AR1 zoning with the 3/4 acre lots and with the open rural setting. We believe this fits in character with the area around it, and we are here to answer any questions that you or the rest of the commission may have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Burton. You've been busy tonight, sir.
I have been. There is no amenities planned. Is that somebody mentioned passive open space? I guess where would that be?
That's the buffering, pretty much undeveloped areas, no lots, no right of way. So that's all the buffering along the perimeter of the site, the stormwater areas, and also the wooded area along adjacent to the stream with the buffering.
And any thought to any amenities? I mean, is there?
Well, I guess we felt with the larger lots, 3/4 acre lots, that is a pretty ample space there.
What do you anticipate those ponds to be? Do you think they'll be wet or dry?
Well, the plan right now is for them to be infiltration, to be dry. But it ultimately depends on the soils, the hydraulic analysis that comes back. And if that's not the case, then if the infiltration rates do not allow it, then we would do wet ponds.
Are you proposing any sidewalks or streetlights in this plan?
No, we're trying to keep with the more rural setting, so we have not proposed sidewalks in this subdivision or light.
How about street lights?
Yeah, yes.
And there is a septic feasibility on this?
Yes, and it's included in appendix.
What type of systems do you anticipate?
On-site gravity.
So I'll be every one of them will be on-site gravity.
Based on the preliminary feasibility that it allows that. And that's under Appendix D.
Any thought to a bus stop at all?
No, that hasn't been presented as an option for us. DLDOT, well, we would need to present a bus stop area, probably outside along Fleetown Road with their proper signage and all, because based on the configuration of the site, you know, most school districts want the bus to stop and go, and therefore it would need to be, you know, if they would allow it to be out on their road, that we would need to be designed to that.
Does this plan and the buffering reflect what Shane read in to the minutes?
No, what he's speaking of is the additional buffering along this parcel right here.
What's that proposed now versus what it'll be?
This is open space right here, but this is lot area. So therefore, he was requesting an additional 30 feet. So we would have to reconfigure this lot, shift this lot over.
But what about the other five that are the other way?
This here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 30 foot aquifer.
It's just the one.
Yes, he's speaking of this area in particular right here where we don't have that buffer shown that the adjacent property owner.
What type of houses are you anticipating in here?
They would be a stick built or modular. Is the goal. We're looking at in the price range of, you know, $225 to $250. So it's, you know, it could fluctuate between the type of home.
But they'll definitely be either stick or modular.
Yes.
Is that a planted buffer along that roadway? What's right along the roadway? I guess that's Fleetown Road.
Yeah, we show landscaping in there. DelDOT has wanted us to grant an easement in that area for their multi-mogul path, but, you know, this being a very rural area, it almost doesn't make sense to create a sidewalk.
Sidewalk to nowhere.
Sidewalk to nowhere. That's about right. It would be landscaped is what we have it shown on the plans right now.
That'd be in the DelDOT right of way or on the property line?
No, that's on our property.
Lot line?
No, 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 no. Within open space, the buffer, yeah. Yeah, that 25-foot buffer.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you gentlemen didn't guess from my previous comments about the plus comments,
right.
I want to refer you back to the Office of Management and Budgets letter to the gentleman who prepared the response to PLUS.
He is not here, but someone from our office did prepare that.
Because their letter states that his letter simply acknowledges their concerns regarding the development of the property, but in those PLUS response to the PLUS comments, he didn't provide any specific information regarding whether you were going to do something or not do something. It was just everything is acknowledging. Mm-hmm. You know, acknowledgement doesn't to me mean that there's an action. It just means, oh yeah, we heard you. And I quote, without specifics on any changes proposed, the state cannot comment further. Gentlemen, that concerns me a great deal because the state agencies that are a part of that, including Sussex County, which is a county agency, they go to great lengths to review these projects and make comments, and to be kind of glossed over by that is of concern, because I know I, as a commissioner, great consideration. The follow-up with that, it also presents problems for me when I review these projects because, as in your case, the PLUS comments were not even included in your exhibit booklet, and I had to request from staff to provide me with a copy of that. And there's times I, quite frankly, had trouble following what your responses were even referring to, let alone whether they were addressing the concerns within that. With that said, I probably will have a few questions, but you'll have to bear with me because, as you can tell, I have a few sticky notes that I tried to sort out. And unfortunately, it required a considerable more of my time than I would have liked to have spent in my evenings reviewing this. And I do commend you, after having said that, I commend you, Mr. Wells, on your 100-foot setback from the wetlands. I think that's supported in a lot of scientific and technical studies, showing that the buffer is very important in doing that. I'll try not to bounce around too much, but for example, one of their comments was concerning lots number 16 to 25, saying that they should either be omitted from the site plan or relocated, so they're outside of wetland boundaries and there's a 100-foot buffer. Now, again, you may be providing that, but I couldn't tell from your comments whether your revised plans or if they were revised to provide for that, although I do understand we do have a 100-foot setback from those wetlands. There's also discussion about the stormwater management pond that would result in tree clearing and wetland destruction, and they were recommending that that pond be relocated. So not having seen your original submission to PLUS, I do not know if you've addressed that concern or not.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, the existing woodland line is located right here. So we have, where it was shown within the wooded area, we have moved it out. So that woodland area is actually located, the existing woodlands, I'm sorry, is located right here. So that has been moved out of the wooded area.
Great. Been nice if that had been said.
Mr. Dodge, if I may, I know you have many more questions. When we had submitted this plan after going through PLUS, you're correct, there were many things that were not addressed or decided on at the time when we submitted and went through TAC comments. The developer, Ms. Wells, had come to us and same question you had about addressing those PLUS comments and those concerns, of which we then addressed the PLUS comments. Although we did not formally respond back to them a second time with those concerns, these plans have been revised and they do address most of the comments here in the PLUS comments. Some of those are just general comments that they have about the site. For example, State Fire Marshal has his general comments that he makes, of which we will comply with. Erosion Sediment Control has those comments, but a lot of the comments that you're referencing do reference the woodlands and the 100-foot buffer, of which this site has been shifted north. And as Mr. Messner pointed out, there are some lots that are still shown in the woods, of which it will be designed to preserve those woodlands. However, once again, once that lot is subdivided, those homeowners could keep those woodlands, or they may opt to. They don't prefer to have those woodlands. They want it all open. They want to cut the grass or whatever they want to do. The stormwater management pond is still partially shown right now in the wooded area. That will be adjusted as we go through the site design so that we do not disturb woodlands just for stormwater management, because that defeats the whole purpose of taking out the woodlands. So I do understand where the questions are from, because obviously what you've read, it doesn't look like we did much, but the plan presented does address those, and we will continue to answer those questions. I just wanted to let you know that we did not formally respond back to PLUS with these plan changes. It was about 8 months after we had originally gone through PLUS. We did address their comments and most of their concerns.
Okay. Well, one of the concerns that was raised by Mr. Kautz, who's our land use planner, unfortunately is not here, is that he was recommending that you relocate the stormwater management pond, which is located along the property frontage.
Yes, sir.
To an interior, less visible location, and it appears as though it's still there.
Yes, sir, and the reason why it's still there is, hydraulically speaking, there is a high point in the middle of the site located right here, which is approximately 8 feet higher than this point, 8 feet higher than this point, so the natural hydrology wants to split the site left and right. We can relocate this pond here, however, we were going to alter severely the natural hydrology of the site. which then goes against the drainage concerns that drainage has from Denrec, erosion, sediment control, and then it will alter the drainage for Fleetown Road, the Jefferson's property, and the other road, and bring Clint Daniel Pond Road. So moving that pond somewhere else away from the natural hydrology will have some significant effects down the road. And again, we're looking to do infiltration on this site. The LDOT has requirements that the pond has to be located so far from the right-of-way, and we also plan on landscaping that pond so that it will not be a distraction, a nuisance, or a visual eyesore to the surrounding area, so that it will fit in with the natural area. And as low as that pond is, there will be no requirement for burns. We'll be able, more than likely, to get down deep enough that you won't see a hill just pop out of nowhere, if I could say that.
So what kind of landscaping would you envision around that stormwater management pond that's on the corner?
A mixed evergreen, deciduous type buffering to where you would not be able to see. You wouldn't be able to see through. And
there could be high grasses. We'll have to make sure we meet the site distance requirements per DLDOT. Those kind of, we just have not looked into the exact specifics of what we plan on planting in there. There'd be some kind of.
But you'll show that on your landscape plan when you come in for the final approval.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. If they want approval.
If we're granted approval, yeah. Yes, sir.
Because I know I'll speak for myself. One of my concerns are with the stormwater management ponds that are alongside the road, and they become trash collection. And if you ride around the general area of this project, it's bad enough for the side roads being the new county dumps. But that's why we don't like the stormwater management ponds close to the road.
Yes, sir. And
it facilitates a collection of trash.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, due to the hour, I won't go over my other 15 sticky notes, so I have no further questions at this time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
All my questions have been answered.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions. The stormwater management ponds, where will they outfall to? Have you gotten that far along?
The ponds will, our ultimate goal is to infiltrate, so be able to manage themselves. But in an extreme storm event, the one on the right-hand side would be able to access the stream, outfall into the wetland area. And the other pond there, in an extreme storm event, DLDOT does not allow us to discharge into their right-of-way. However, you can go through plan review with them to do that, to access discharge. But it is not the goal to do that, because that's a rather lengthy process. We would rather manage it on site through infiltration practices.
Another question, has there been any comments about providing a stub street? I was thinking that's ag land to the north, maybe over there around 16 and 17.
We haven't met with DLDOT yet, and their concerns. One of our thoughts was, again, the rural type setting, not looking at that cross access. That's also agriculture. It may or may not be developed for you. We don't know. It was trying to create this rural setting within the subdivision without providing street linkages that we're planning to expand beyond. So our initial thought was not to provide the interconnection specifically to the parcel to the northeast, if you will, just to have a rural setting all internal to that site. It's the initial thought we've had through this process is rural setting with the natural features that are surrounded by this site.
And I guess that perhaps this be a question for Mr. Wells. I'm just thinking what you gentlemen had said about that area around lots 31, 32, and 33 being a high area, possibly as much as 6 to 8 feet higher than some other sites. I realize you've got your permitted densities, but I'm just wondering if lots 31, 32, and 33 would be essential to this development, or if you've given any thought to utilizing that as some type of open space and not having so many back-to-back lots right in that area around Buckhorn Court, Buck Thorn, Buckhorn Court.
My thought was really put all of our effort into trying to preserve this existing woodsy corridor. And again, I come at it from a hunter's perspective, wildlife management, that type of thing, as well as what I'm aware of in terms of, you know, they talk about planted buffers from wetlands, having a natural tree root system and so forth. So rather than take what is now a cleared field and try to do something with that, I said, let's put all of our effort into preserving this natural habitat as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And again, coming back to the plus comments, they talked about this woods was is part of the SRA areas, the SRA maps that they had come up with a year or so ago. And I think based on that comment, their pat response is, let's move lots out of the SRA wooded areas. Well, in the spirit of that, we have tried to move the as much of the lots out of the woodsy area as possible to minimize the impact on wooded clearing. If I may add to their comments on some other areas, my sense of the buffer along the road is that in a lot of these rural areas, you know, dust is such a problem because there's so much area that's been cleared. There's no hedgerows anymore. There's no, all that's, you know, because of farming practices have been eliminated. So rather than build a bike path to nowhere, since there's no adjoining paths or subdivisions in either direction, I would be more inclined to do evergreens of white pines or something like that to create a buffer that would be ultimately visually opaque, and again would provide roosting area and that type of thing for birds and so forth. So that would be my thought, particularly as we come down to the corner here around the stormwater area. Of course, we can't impede the visual aspects of the intersection.
Good answer, thank you. Just following up, one last question, Mr. Chairman. Just trying to think, if I owned the Robbins property, what would I be looking at the backs of lots 11 and 12? Would there be some pine plantings or anything there? Or not?
You're talking about this area?
Yes.
Oh.
You know, yes, I think we could do that. I don't have a problem with that. I think this particular property, if we had an aerial, I think they've already planted a pine buffer on their lot, as I recall, just driving by there. But I can't say that for sure.
But but they could also cut it down, I guess, if it was on their property. I guess I was asking, would you plant one on your property?
The answer is yes.
Thank you.
But I'm not prepared to provide a 30-foot buffer there. Well, we certainly could do some plantings along the line there.
Good answer. Thank you.
The other issue of road access, this adjacent farm, this is all one owner's farm here, and it has frontage on two roads, Covage Pond Road as well as Lee Town Road. So the connectivity aspect, to me, didn't make much sense to put a future connector there. I think my experience as a realtor and appraiser and so forth is that the small subdivision, particularly the rural areas, have more appeal than a large 200-lot subdivision because you don't get as much traffic through them and all that. So I would be opposed to the connectivity issue of having all that traffic run through this small 50-lot subdivision.
The governor begs to differ with you, sir.
Yep. Yeah, well, we weren't advocating. I'm just asking if it had come up in comments. Thank you.
That's all for me.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lang.
I don't know if it was clearly stated or responded to, and next to the Jefferson property, are you going to provide the 30-foot buffer?
Yes.
And I had the same question Rodney did. I didn't know what they were going to do around that lot. It looked like everything was being surrounded by landscaping, but there wasn't any landscaping next to the two lot, the one lot that's adjacent on the Robbins. That's all I have.
Okay. Travis?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions, thanks.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-10 Ritter Lynn Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-10? Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
Colorful person in the room.
Well, that I believe you are.
Yes, I am. Of course you are. And my name is Karen Gerritsen, formerly Karen Robbins. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad that you mentioned having some type of tree planting around that property. I would appreciate that. I'm not totally for the development. I'm not totally against the development. I came out of curiosity. Apparently, this had been presented here before and was denied, according to what my husband has researched on the internet. He can't be here tonight because
I have to look it up.
He had to work. But what he had read before was that it had been denied because of the archaeological possibilities within the area. The farmhouse that's there now, Mr. Wells, doesn't show.
Ma'am, I have to ask you, the rules of the commission are that you need to address your comments to us, okay?
And
if we want to get a question answered for you, we'll be happy to do that.
Okay. There's a farmhouse in this area over here. It doesn't show at this point. So I'm assuming
that it's no longer going to be there. Is it within this? I couldn't tell from where you pointed, if it's on the other side of the road or within
no,
the...
No, okay, it's on not, the, right. not on the other side of the road.
Right, okay.
Another concern that I would have is this particular intersection is notorious for auto accidents. There have been people killed at this intersection just last year. So I would question what is going to be done for safety's sake at the intersection. Also, having your entrance off of Fleetown Road, given that Fleetown is a connector between the two major highways of 13 and 113, people, although they could tell the police officer that they travel at only 45 miles an hour, people race. And if this is going to be a hidden entrance, I would question safety here. I was glad that you had mentioned protection of the wetlands, protection of the wildlife. I would ask about, I know this area during hunting season is filled with hunters, and we have children. We're this far away, so I'm not concerned about the children at my house, but what about children down in this area during hunting season?
I'm not sure how much hunting will be taking place back there once those houses are built. I believe there's a limitation as to how close you can be to a residence. What is it? 300 feet?
Is there?
That's yeah, so it wouldn't be. I'm not saying that someone wouldn't go back there, but if they did, they'd be in violation of
and
the law.
And I also did want to know what's, if I'm surrounded, what type of home development is going to be here. If there's going to be a homeowners association and how it's going to affect what might be expected of me.
I think I can probably answer that question. And nothing would be expected of you, ma'am. You're not part of that subdivision, so you don't you have no responsibility whatsoever. As it was pointed out, the trees on your property are your trees. You may take them down anytime you like. We're seeking to provide some protection for you by requiring the trees to be on their property, and they won't be able to take them down.
We do not have trees around here. I mean, this is all farmer's field at this point.
Oh, you don't have trees there?
We don't have trees.
Oh, okay.
There are trees here.
Okay.
That separate us from this part of the farm.
Right.
Up in here. And this part of the farm, I don't even know whether that part of the farm sold with this part of the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is addressing just this development.
That's right, and we don't know either. So, yeah, it's not the subject of our application.
But that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Satisfied my curiosity and answered my questions.
All right. Well,
thank
you. We appreciate your patience. And I am going to ask the applicant or his engineers if they would come up and address any of the traffic concerns, if there were comments. First of all, in the PLUS process, if there was an archaeological consideration, I would suspect it would have come up.
Mr. Wheeler, I'd expect the same thing, and Mr. Mednis is bringing that. And they did document. They mentioned an agriculture complex in the Beers Atlas, and they liked the possibility to.
Yeah, there's
document the building, and there's always a chance of historic remains due to cemeteries that are prone to that. And our answer is always we will comply with all the state requirements regarding that house. The house is not currently there during the construction activities. If either the remains were found or an archaeological site was to be uncovered, obviously construction has to stop, and we have to notify SHPO within so many days for them to come out and do the evaluation, and that project would go from there. That house could have been torn down back in 1869 or 2007. I don't know exactly when that house. I have not looked at previous aerials dating back or USGS maps at that point.
Okay.
That's the archaeological question. Now I can move to the transportation question unless you have a follow-up.
I would please. Yeah, the intersection that is of concern. Has DLDOT placed any requirements on you regarding that intersection?
We have not met with DLDOT yet to review the entrance plan or what requirements may or may not be required of us. Whatever requirements they impose on us, we would obviously be required to meet to gain our entrance plan approval. That would include addressing the concern about it being a hidden entrance, hidden driveway. That's something I don't believe DLDOT would allow us to permit either, so we'd have to break up the landscaping to ensure that entrance was visible to not only us leaving, but those passing in or entering from either the right or to the left. So again, I don't know what those improvements will be. Typically, DLDOT requires at least improvements along the road frontage. Now, if they require improvements at the intersection, I can't answer those at this time.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you. Ma'am, what I would suggest to you is that in the event that this is approved, might want to contact DLDOT. The Planning and Zoning Office can tell you specifically who to call to voice your concerns about that intersection, so that there will be something on the record when these fellows go to meet with them. That's only in the event that it gets approved here. So which we have currently haven't decided yet. So is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? That being the case, okay.
Well, I can answer that. Mr. Smith and I looked at it. It actually does. I don't think it shows on that rendering, but there's on the plans that we have, it does appear.
Yeah. Okay. And I would like Mr. Metzner, if you would, just come up for a second. You neglected to mention that you're a registered landscape architect. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay. That's an important credential to have in the record, so I'm going to put it in the record for you by asking you that question. Okay?
Yep.
And how many years' experience do you have?
Six.
And I believe this is your first trip to Sussex County Planning and Zoning.
That is correct.
As a presenter.
That's correct.
Well, on behalf of the commission, we want to welcome you to the group, and we have a gift for you. I want you to come up, and we want to give this to you. This is what a properly prepared PLUS report looks like. We want you to take that, and we want everyone you bring here from now on to look just as good as that one.
Thank you, sir.
Okay? You're welcome. And with that, we'll close the public hearing. You're invited to spend the rest of your Thursday night with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Gentlemen, that completes